B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
2 seconds left in this one, and the horn is going to sound. Tuukka Rask was brilliant tonight. Patrice Bergeron scored twice, both coming on the power play. The Boston Bruins again have come on the road to even a series at 2 games apiece. For the Blue Jackets, it's the first time they have lost on home ice here during the playoffs. It's going to be Game 5 in Boston on Saturday night. Your final, Bruins 4 and the Blue Jackets 1.
All right, that was a good one. That was an interesting one for sure. Welcome into Felger and Maz here on a Friday. We call it an agenda-free Friday. And agenda-free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvas, Audis, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Did I mispronounce two brand names?
You did.
There?
It's a Volvo and not a body part, and it's an Audi.
Here, Murray, do me a favor. You're a professional broadcaster, would you please?
Agenda-free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com.
They're not, the Volvo is not a new
Volvo.
Good start. Agenda Free Friday is set by your wonderful, amazing phone calls. Right, Billy? So whatever we've gotten to during the week or have yet to get to, it's up to you. We have released the hounds at 617-779-0985. Load them up. We'll get to you as soon as you are ready to go. We start with opening thoughts while they're loading up. You heard the final play call from that Bruins game last night. That was a humdinger. Murray, do you care to go first?
Yeah, please. That was a roller coaster ride of a game and my emotions last night, I think, for most Bruins fans. No shortage of storylines come out of that game. But for me, the biggest and most important of them, it's the continued great play of Tuukka Rask and his shutout. I think you can say he straight up stole them that game. And it is a shutout. That's the fakest goal you'll ever see and the fakest points you'll ever see in the history of sports. I know you have something to talk about with that, with the fact they didn't replay it. But either way, he's been the biggest player in the series for the Bruins. He outplayed Bobrovsky last night. 40 saves. 40 saves for number 40. He's been the most important player in a performance like last night's. Just solidifies what I think we continue to think about this team. The opportunity's never going to be better. You're never going to get him to play at this level, I don't think, in these type of games going forward. You're on borrowed time as a Dano Chara. There's not much left here going forward in terms of opportunity for Bergeron, Marchand. Krejci's having his best season in 5 years. I don't know if you're ever going to be playing better collectively and have Rask playing at this level going forward. This is it. The door's not just open, Mike. It's hanging off the hinges. They get Carolina in the next round. They have to finish this series. I still think it's probably going to go 7, but they have to finish this series. You go on. This is it. This is their best opportunity, and the way that Rask is playing just solidifies that.
Okay, Rask, first star, consensus, best player on the ice for the Bruins. Won you the game, stole you the game, whatever verb you want to use there, that's a consensus. So I think we all agree with that. Number one story. Are you saying, though, Murray, that he's playing at a level that he hasn't played at previously?
In the postseason, yes.
Huh. So you're saying that previously he hadn't reached a championship level?
To me, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Why are the Boohoo crew otherwise?
I'm just curious. I mean, there is another way to look at this, and this just sort of goes back to the whole Tuukka debate over the years, and that is, well, isn't the way he's playing right now proof that he hadn't reached the level previously?
Oh, to me it is, yeah.
I mean, so give him full credit. Carried your ass last night. It was tremendous. Tremendous. But when you see it, doesn't that then make you say,
oh, it's a bit frustrating.
Well, no, I know. It's just, this is just purely for the debate. Has Tuukka Rask played at a championship level previous to this?
Probably not, no.
And we've debated it, right?
Yeah.
When you watch him now, doesn't that lead you to say he's reached another level, which is saying he wasn't at that level previously? Huh. That's just my sort of obnoxious way of throwing my hat there into the Tuukka Rask thing. There's no debating how he played and how he has played these playoffs. Just tremendous. I said yesterday, can you win a game 2-1? And essentially, that's what he did yesterday.
Oh, I mean, definitely.
That was a 2-1 game for the balance of the game. They scored a couple in the third period there, but I consider that a 2-1 win, you know, in spirit. He needed to be that guy to win 2-1, and there's no debating that. Maz, what's your opening take?
Okay, I'm going to go Red Sox. I'm just trying to shake it up here a little bit. So last night, the Red Sox have a 4-3 lead in the ninth inning, one out, nobody on. Rafael Devers makes an error at third base, and then double home run. And I read this morning, and I hear about Devers' defense as a problem, started the rally, Red Sox lose the game. All true. So what, once the guy got on, they couldn't get out of it? Is that the deal? Guy gets on base and the game's over? You got a guy on the mound that can't get another out? Everything's got to go perfect in the ninth or you can't win? So listen, Devers' defense sucks. We know that. It has sucked all year. It was bad last year. I mean, you know, it feels like he's going backwards now. I'd say it's even worse. He's got, what, 9, 10 errors, whatever the number is, all of which is fine. But this idea that somehow that was why they lost? The whole idea is if you're on the mound and a guy makes a mistake, you pick him up. You get the next two guys out. And so Brazier, to his credit, took responsibility for the home run he gave up. But this idea that it's all getting pinned on Devers is really pissing me off. Because you know what? You know who does that? Losers. Losing teams do that. They start blaming a single guy for a play when really what a winning team would do in that situation is they would say, no, you pick him up. We'll get out of it. Someone made a mistake. It's fine. It happens. No big deal. Instead, they give up two. So it's a man on first with one out in the ninth. So it's okay to give up a double and a homer there because the guy made an error? You still had to get another out either way. They didn't get any.
Forgive me if you just said this. Did someone on the Red Sox point this out?
Cora Cora talked about the defense and how it was a big play. It was a routine play. And I think, generally speaking, people are looking at the error that Devers made and said Devers made an error and then they gave the game away. Guys make errors in the ninth inning all the time. And again, I'm not justifying the guy's defense. His defense sucks. Fact. Get the outs. Get the outs. Stop bitching about the fact that a guy made an error. Curt Schilling had a streak when he was pitching of the longest streak ever without allowing an unearned run. You know why? It wasn't because people behind him didn't make errors. It's because when they got on base, Schilling said, doesn't matter, I'm going to get out of it anyway. And they didn't do that last night. When I read it this morning, it felt like a Devers story to me, and it bugged the crap out of me.
That's Mass's opening take. Red Sox will be on the board. You may not have noticed last night as the Bruins were winning, but Red Sox blew a 2-run lead in the ninth inning and had a walk-off 3-run homer against them to lose to the Chicago White Sox. We'll get back to that later. My opening take, I'll sort of tease it for later, but I'm not on Twitter. But if I were, Murray, it would go something like this, #replay doesn't work. And I've been on this for now years. You've heard me for years and years and years talk about this, how replay in sports does not work. It does not alleviate controversy. It does not get it right. Even when you replay it, they get it wrong. They replay the wrong things at the wrong time. There's too many rules or not enough rules. It does not work. #replay doesn't work. This is a replay in sports take. It's obviously built off of last night's goal that was allowed to stand after a puck clearly went into the netting in Columbus for the Blue Jackets. There are reams and reams and reams of things that we replay in the world of sports. Everything. Someone's butt cheek goes 1 centimeter off a bag on a pop-up slide, and if you keep the tag on them, they will go over there and spend 3 minutes looking at a replay and reverse it. We will look at that, but we won't look at that. We won't look at that thing last night that clearly led to a goal. Replay does not work. I'll give you a fuller vetting of that later on in the show, but that's just that's the headline. It doesn't work. Dave in Plymouth, lead us off today.
So, yeah, my thought around that, Mike, is, and I wanted to follow up what Rask said in the paper. He said, what happens if it's overtime? What happens if that goal is an overtime goal? What happens if it's game seven and that's overtime? You're telling me that the officials aren't going to go back to Toronto and say, hey, wait a minute, there might have been something funny that happened there. And this rule that it's continuous, that because a guy made a pass, that it's off. Right, the fact that it went out of play and went back in, but a guy made a pass, that's okay. All right, he made a pass and they scored. I mean, it just
Dave,
doesn't
make... It makes no sense given how they rule on offsides, and everyone's pointed it out, and it's so right. So if it hits the net and comes back in and they miss it, but they can see it on replay, you can only review it if it immediately then becomes a goal, meaning...
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It either has to bounce directly off the net, the netting over the boards, and then into the net.
Yeah, somehow falls in.
Or the first guy to touch it off the net immediately hits it in. Okay? So you can't make a pass. You can't work the puck after it's hit the net. They're just going to let it play on. Where offsides, you can make 4,000 passes and be in the zone for 4 minutes, as far as you know, as far as you can tell. And they're going to go back and turn back time and get in the DeLorean and wipe out 4 minutes of time and call it a no goal. But on that, it's got to be direct cause and effect, which makes zero sense. Zero. Why you would have it on one and not the other.
You mean you don't see the logic there? No, I mean, like, what's your problem? You don't get it?
This is my problem. But this
it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, my God, it's ridiculous. But we know that the puck went out of bounds, out of play. But we're going to let it go because someone passed it. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. It was unbelievable. I looked at it and said, I almost said, they have to take this goal off the board. I don't care what the rule is. They can't possibly allow that. And when it happened, I was so mad. I was sick to my stomach during the first period.
You should have been.
I was sick to my stomach. I texted Murray and I said, this game's going to be bad enough to watch
right.
In terms of how excruciating it is. I feel like the Bruins are now losing. Like they're ahead 2-1 and it feels like they're losing.
It should make you sick to your stomach.
Oh, it did. I was sick in the middle of the first period. Sick.
And this is, you know, part of my take. But this is what makes you sick to your stomach is that we have replay.
It's just used incorrectly.
Yeah. So,
oh, my God, it was unbelievable.
If there were no replay and they couldn't reverse that, then you'd say, you freaking idiots on the ice, get some glasses, get a clue, you suck. But it's a blown call and that happens. There's nothing you can do about it. And again, if you're old enough to have lived in a pre-replay world, that's the way it was. You can't believe the guy blew the call, but he blew the call and that's it. That's it. It ends there. The dumb ref blew the call. Now, it creates this whole other thing that, wait a minute, I can replay this, but I can't replay that. Wait, on this one, you'll let the play go as long as it takes for 4 minutes and 4,000 passes. But on that one, you can't have a single pass and go back and change it. And now why? And now it's like there's this whole other layer of your and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It does not work. And for every example there is in hockey, I'll give you 4,000 in football. I'll give you 2,000 in baseball. In basketball, they will replay someone going for a layup who will raise his knee too high, and they will go over to that board, and they will spend 5 minutes looking at that thing to see if the knee raised too high and intentionally got the guy in the groin, and then give him something called a deliberate one versus a technical two or whatever, I forget. What a complete waste of our time. But they will do that routinely. And you can't replay that? A thing that clearly goes over the boards and then clearly leads to a goal. Why do we have replay in the first place?
Of all the stupid things.
What are we doing?
Of all the stupid things I've ever seen in a game of any kind, this is number one. This is the stupidest.
Without question. And like Rask said, what if that happened in overtime of Game 7 of a playoff series of Stanley Cup Finals?
It didn't even occur to me till he said it. He's right.
So the thing is, there is wriggle room with that, you know, with that wording. It's, you know, immediately leads to a goal. I mean, you could stretch it a little bit and said that immediately led to a goal. I mean, ish.
Oh, it did. It did immediately lead to a goal.
Ish. But they define what immediately means. When the puck strikes the spectator netting and then deflects directly into the goal off any player. Okay. I mean, it kind of did that. I mean, you could. So all I'm saying is if it's an overtime of a Stanley Cup final game to decide the cup, I don't know. I thought they still might have had room with that wording. But the whole thing is, folks, replay doesn't work. It doesn't work. We're better off in a non-replay environment. That's just another example of it last night. More your thoughts, Bruins and otherwise, right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
I think our guys will be ready. We're a resilient group. I don't want to say it's do or die because it's not. But clearly, you don't want to go down two. It goes our way. It's the best two out of three. We have home ice advantage. That's a good spot to be in.
McAvoy along the near side. Fired. They score! David Pastrnak! Krug holds it in now. Stolen away. And it's Boone Jenner shorthanded. Marchand is up to the ice with him and takes him off the puck and commits a penalty in the process. Penalty shot, Bob. Angles hard to the right wing circle. Now slows down, shoots, and missed the net. Bergeron shoots. He scores! Patrice Bergeron! Jones sends it toward the net and tipped off a stick and it went high and it winds up over the glass and out of play. Nobody knows where it is. Gotta hit the netting and here's a shot to score, but I think that's gonna come off the board and they're gonna let it count. And I will gladly have the worst goal call of my career and have it count. I'm good with that.
Far circle, high slot, Jones, Rister, Rask fought it off. Rebound far side, Rask able to make the stop on Panarin and covers.
Well, Rask has been outstanding this period.
Sent up top, here's Chara, tees it up, looking for a bank out in front. It comes, fired, they score! The Ohio kid, Sean Corrali. Near circle, Pastrnak, one-timer, out in front, they score! Pasternak's one-timer, knocked down by Bergeron, buried by Bergeron. Bergeron with a power play goal and the Bruins with a 4-1 lead and they're heading for the exits here at Nationwide.
All right, Jimmy Stewart's look back at game four last night in Columbus. That was a good one. That was a wild first period and a really just a tremendous night. I don't mean tremendously good in every respect, but entertaining as hell. We'll continue to give you our thoughts on last night with you, Sean and Everett. Go.
Hey, guys. So just, you know, couldn't agree more on the whole ruling thing. You know, at the end of the day, if the netting wasn't there, the puck would be going out of play. And you know, we have all these replays now. We could replay a play that happened 5 minutes ago to challenge offsides, but we can't look into something like that. You know, just kind of unbelievable to think that they can't even utilize them correctly. Aside from that, I thought Rask looked great last night. Good to have the top line back. And, you know, I think Columbus is, you know, get a little nervous. We're banging them up, and I think that they're kind of falling into some boneheaded mistakes. So I'll hang up with you guys.
Okay, I don't sense nerves yet. Let's see them here in Game 5. I don't sense any nerves from Columbus. They got beat last night, but I'm not sure what you're talking about with boneheaded. They're undisciplined with penalties. They take too many penalties. But I don't, you know, believe everything else that you're saying. He also said good to have the first line back. Is the first line back?
Yeah. Well, how about better? I mean, at least they produced a little.
I don't think it.
I was encouraged by Bergeron. Beyond that,
Marchand sucked.
Marchand was horrible last night.
Marchand sucked. David Pastrnak should be committed. He needs help. He's so far lost. He's a basket case. I would not say that first line is back. I would say Bergeron scored a couple times on the power play is what I would say.
I mean, Marchand and Pastrnak are straight-up liabilities right now.
I mean, so I was going to, you know, I almost asked this in the email exchange this morning. Who do you feel worse about, Marchand or Pastrnak?
I don't feel bad for either.
No.
About.
I don't mean for. No. Oh, I don't mean who you feel badly for. I mean, who do you feel worse about?
Yeah. Sympathy, we don't do sympathy on Felger and Maz.
Who do you feel worse about?
Yeah. Pastrnak by far, because I think Marchand's still fine. I don't think. I mean, Marchand, look, hurt you with penalties. I still think Marchand is, you know, that close to, you know, potting two goals and an assist and being right there. I think he's right there. I think Marchand will be fine, is fine. I'm not worried about Marchand. I think Pastrnak should be stapled to the bench.
Okay, he's clearly, have you ever seen the puck roll off a guy's stick like that? He thinks it's still on it. Twice. But that said, I'm more agitated with Marchand.
Why?
Because he's stupid. I'm serious. Like with Pastrnak, I look at him and say, he's a puddle. Like, I don't know how you fix that. Like, he's a puddle. He's a mess. But Marchand, I look at and say, you know better. Like, you know, you're just dumb. You are stupid. Like, I get more agitated with Marchand. Pastrnak might be more of a lost cause. I think that's probably where your point is. But I look at Marchand and I say, how dumb can you be? Are you ever going to screw your head on?
If you were Cassidy, would you start scaling back Marchand?
No.
Me neither.
No.
Nope.
No.
I'm not taking away a second of time for him.
No, but I would say to him, hey, dude.
I slap him upside the head.
Exactly.
But Pastrnak? I'm sorry. The Pastrnak thing has become a Cassidy story. You're up a goal in the third period, fighting for your life, and you're still playing that guy? That's inexcusable. Cassidy was about to lose you that game last night. If they had scored, meaning Columbus had scored, while Pastrnak was on the ice in the third period to tie that game, that would have been squarely on Bruce Cassidy. Cassidy's got to get his head out of his ass.
So the only reason, I shouldn't say the only, part of the other reason I think I'm less agitated with Pastrnak is because on the first goal, the one the goal he scored, he got drilled on that shift, and he actually got up and continued to play.
Okay, I give him credit for that as well.
So, in the last game, I felt like he turtled. So he didn't turtle as much, but he's schizo. I mean, he is schizophrenic out there.
You cannot. When he gives the puck away, three straight power plays at the blue line for odd man rushes against, you can't keep putting him out there. And finally, Cassidy did. It took another turnover at the blue line in the second. He put Krejci
out there
the next time, which is still four forwards and one D. I still have a problem with that formation now because they give up so many chances on that. So many chances with the four forwards and Krug. They're just asking for trouble, and they get it a handful of times a night. There's odd man rushes against on the Bruins power play because they're too light. And so that formation in and of itself has to go. It has to go. And it did in the third period. Cassidy finally, way too late, made the adjustment. But
because McAvoy and Krug were out there together.
Yes,
right?
He finally put 2D out there, later on in the third period. But for too much of the game, it was that first PP is four forwards and Krug and Pastrnak out there at the blue line. And then in the third period, up a goal. Pastrnak can't play in that period. I'm sorry, you can't play. You're staple his ass to the bench. I'm not telling you to put him on nine. I'm not telling you. First period, you need a goal, all those things. You want to develop them, that's fine. The third period of game four, down 2-1, is no time to develop a player. You need to win that period. You need to get out of that period 2-1. Pastrnak should not have played in that third period last night. I thought that was a grotesque job by Cassidy there on Pastrnak.
I mean, he's intimidated, I think. I think that's what it is. He's intimidated.
You mean Pastrnak is?
Yeah, yeah. I think that he goes to get the puck at the boards. He knows someone's coming, and he's intimidated. It's unbelievable.
He doesn't battle.
That stick handling and leaving the puck behind, you don't even see that in Mighty Mites, let alone at the pro level. I don't know if I've ever seen that in my life.
Charlie in the car. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, so I think the only word that I can think of to describe myself after that game last night is grateful, just because, obviously I'm happy with the win, but it wasn't pretty. Two things, I love seeing Krejci replace Pastrnak on that power play in the third. Two centers, Bergeron and Krejci plus Marchand, they were just flying the puck all over the place, getting a lot of good, new, fresh looks. I love that.
But let me tell you what, Charlie, let me just stop you there. That's not why Krejci was there. And Cassidy said something like that in the post game. I think trying to protect Pastrnak. He put Krejci out there, or should have, because Krejci is going to be more responsible at the blue line. Krejci is not just going to leave the puck sitting there like Pastrnak did on that little backhand thing, which was when Cassidy finally pulled him off and finally said something to him on the bench. God, that took too long. Krejci's not going to do that. Krejci's at least going to freeze the puck, make the smart play, and give you a little more sturdiness and responsibility if he gets stuck out at the point. That's why I would have put him there.
He's certainly not out there for the one-timer. I mean, he's accurate with the puck, but he's got no power behind it. Still, when Pastrnak was out, though, he was the guy, and I mean injured, earlier in the year.
Yeah.
Krejci was the guy getting time over there.
Charlie, I'm sorry. Quickly wrap it up.
Well, yeah, that went into my second point, just with Pasta. Every game, I think we've hit the floor with him with how worse he can get. But no, he gets worse the next game. I mean, the guy needs to get he needs to get laid or something. I mean, I don't know what it is.
Okay. I don't know if it's that. The coach needs to recognize it and not put your team at risk because you want to develop a guy or you don't want to bury a guy, as he said last night, or whatever the case may be. No, 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 no. In the third period of game four in the Stanley Cup playoffs, when you're down 2-1, that is strictly about getting out of that period alive. And that means you do not play David Pastrnak. I was I was borderline outraged that Pastrnak was out there in the third period at all. I honestly thought that was a poor job by Cassidy on that specific thing. We continue with everything here on Agenda Free Friday. We got other issues to get to. Celtics, Red Sox calls. I see them on the board. We'll get to those right after Murray's update here. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
There's a high fly ball into right center field, racing back Bradley. All the way back, that ball is gone.
Whoa!
A walk-off by Delmonico, and the White Sox break the Red Sox hearts tonight on a miserable night in Chicago. That's certainly how it ends.
What a backbreaker. What was this pitch? Is that a slider? He left a slider up out over the plate, and Delmonico got on it just out of the reach of Jackie. Two of them are in the same spot tonight. Jackie sizes it up, goes for the leap and the catch, and it's just out of his reach. Three-run bomb. That air by Devers really broke their back, and they took advantage of it.
Yes, they did. 6-4, the final score. A shocker. TC here in Chicago.
All right. Maz's opening take was the scapegoating at Devers sort of bothers him. John and Quincy at Devers' error got that inning started as the Red Sox lost on a heartbreaker last night. John, you have a thought on that? And Quincy?
Yeah, I'm not any kind of illustrious this or that for baseball. I just watch it. But, I mean, Devers looks like he's playing like he's afraid of the ball. He was the worst third baseman in all of baseball, if I'm not correct, last year, correct? And, I mean, and he's certainly well on his way this year to being the same thing. And one more thing, Pastrnak's playing like he's either hurt, he's got some type of injury that he's hiding, or, I mean, I'm not trying to be a clown, but he's intoxicated. It's one or the other. He's either hurt or he's drunk.
No, I don't disagree. I think it's all quickly before we get back to the Sox. It's all three. I think he's hurt. I think he's on meds to dull the pain. I think he's in his own head. So I think he's hurt physically, mentally, and doesn't really compete very hard. And I think all those things wrapped up is what you're getting right here.
Boy, that's a bad combo.
Not a great one. Maz, on Devers, how come you're offended by people pointing out the Devers thing leading to that inning? As Eck did right there on the call.
No. I'm not offended by them pointing it out. I'm offended by them simplifying the loss to that. That's all. Like, yeah, you know, they're up a run in the ninth. Guy makes an error with one out, and it's like, well, Devers made that error. Game's over. What about the next two guys? Like, the Red Sox right now to me feel like a brittle, weak-minded team. That's what they feel like. If it doesn't go perfectly, they're not going to win. And so I've always wondered that a little bit about this group. And look, last year it went perfectly, pretty much, right? The whole season went perfectly. So what happened? They never got derailed. They were fine. But when when it gets a little tough, I don't know how resilient they really are. And last night to me is a great example of a team imploding. So he made an error. Fine. It's still up by one with one out and a man on first in the ninth. It's not like it was a three-base error and put the guy at third. Just get the next two guys. You win the game.
Agenda Free Friday. Everything on the board. Hank and Worcester on the Celts tonight. What do you think?
Hey, Mike. Before I get to the Celts, I just want to give you guys kudos on that post game. Great analysis last night. You know, I got to say, without Rask playing out of his B.O.B. boobskis, you know, what is Cassidy's breaking point on Pasta? I mean, we're not going to get 2 points out of him. But we're definitely going to get all those gifts to Columbus. You know, I don't care what Cassidy says. We needed that game, you know?
Go ahead.
Yeah, on the Celtics, quickly, I just want to say they got to pack the paint to stop the Greek. You know, everybody come in except for Middleton's guy, please, this time. And Maz, this is for you, Haywood. He's got to get 14 shots. You know. And if
okay, I'm cutting you off there. Is 14 the number for Haywood? And just your thoughts on the Celtics tonight in general.
So I think for Haywood, the number's around 10. To me, you know, 14, I'm not going to, you know, but he should take 10 shots a game. That's just an easy round number to pick. And generally speaking, I think if he gets double digits, it means he's engaged. In the last game, he wasn't engaged. He took 5 shots. He sucked in that game. Completely invisible. And so, generally speaking, in terms of what the caller said with the first point, I think he's right. Jam the paint and cover Middleton.
Cover Middleton in the corner.
Right. And then if let Bledsoe, Mirotić, Ilyasova,
Lopez.
Yeah, let those guys shoot to their heart's content. Because as a group, I don't think you're going to get much better than about 35% there.
Zach and Quincy, your thoughts.
So am I wrong for thinking Marcus Smart should be able to suit up and defend Chris Middleton if he's dunking at practice? Also, one more thing. What do we think of playing Semi Ojeleye a bit more tonight? Try to lock down Middleton. Still feeling good. Celtics in 5. Thanks.
Okay. Here's one. Instead of Tatum, why not put Jaylen Brown on him? A better defender, right?
Yeah.
I mean, forget Semi Ojeleye. Just pick a better defender in the rotation.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been trying to get to the bottom of this because it's not something that I'm good at paying attention to during a game. Like, who's got a guy, and then when they switch, who ends up with them? And the Celtics switch a lot. Okay. It's the whole logic behind their roster that no matter who you switch to, we have a guy that can defend you.
Right.
Right. So that's what they do. It feels like Tatum is starting there or ending up there. And Tatum, to me, is not getting the job done. They're leaving Middleton too open. You can't leave that guy open. He's an assassin.
Gender-free Friday, a couple Patriots thoughts. Cam and Taunton, quickly.
Mike, I just love with this quarterback take that you and Matt said, because you're both so disingenuous with this, because neither one of you actually care if they're championship caliber. Mike, you just want them to be good enough to talk about. So if this next quarterback is Matthew Stafford, they'll take that and run for the hills. So they'll go 9-7 or 10-6 every year, and he'll be happy. Murray and I want to win. You don't pass up championships. And Mass just knows the more Brady wins, the less credibility his Garoppolo bitching and moaning has. So neither one of you is winning as a top priority. It's just being credible.
Okay, but how I admit that. That's not being disingenuous. I don't want you to suck.
No, I lived through it with the Red Sox. I hate it.
Yeah, I don't want you to suck. And if you win championships or not, I'm not as into that as you are. I'm not a fan. I couldn't be more genuine about that if I tried. I wear that on my sleeve every single day.
But the idea of saying that it's disingenuous, I don't want to win, well, that's wrong. No, I want to win for a long time. I don't want just another year or two at this stage in the Brady era. I want more than that. So, again, and I don't think it's realistic that you're going to find the next Brady.
Look, you can feel a different way. It didn't make me right or you wrong. You just want a different thing. But to say disingenuous is wrong. I mean, I tell you exactly what I want on that. I don't want you to suck. Hugh Millen does not work for 98.5 The Sports Hub and what's best for the Felger and Maserati program. Hugh Millen does not work for Felger and Maz. It does not. The Bozo in Detroit, Matt Stafford. Word. Yeah. Would. You'd win some games. We'd be able to rip him. He'd be perfect.
I told you, I'd take Stafford.
Pat and Walpole. Go ahead, Pat.
How are we doing, guys? Listen, I called in on Tuesday. I'm the guy that wrote the Jimmy G article that you were all over.
Right. Back for more. Go ahead.
And so, Maz, you had talked about why didn't I write about the other trades. I actually did write about the other trades before the draft. And if you'd like to discuss some of them, I could. I wrote about some of the bad ones, too. You know, the Chad Jackson trade and the Ron Brace trade. I know the trade that you hate the most is the Clay Matthews trade. God knows you bring it up quite enough. I don't know if you know this or not, but the Clay Matthews trade resulted in a second-round pick and 2 third-round picks. Darius Butler and Brandon Tate, they both stink. However, the second third-round pick, they traded to Jacksonville for an 09 seventh-round pick and a 2010 second-round pick. Throw in a sixth-rounder from 2010, and you get Julian Edelman and Rob Gronkowski. That one seemed to work out okay, I think, even though they passed on Clay Matthews. I'd say Edelman.
But Edelman one I love. Yeah. That is so – you guys – Pat, thanks again for the call. These Patriot dorks who do this, you didn't need to make those trades to take Julian Edelman. He was taken with the 212th pick in the draft or whatever it was in the seventh effing round. You didn't need to do anything. You go into every draft with 3 seventh rounders, and you can trade for those like chiclets. You can pick them off the top of the ground. So you didn't need to trade Clay Matthews or the pick that would have gotten Clay Matthews to get Julian Edelman. You dinkus. And Pat, thank you for calling in all of this, but that is disingenuous.
Of course it is. Because again, if they knew about Edelman, Why didn't they take him in the sixth?
But all I'm saying,
if you didn't even need the seventh.
You getting some extra seventh out of some other trade for a second rounder to get that player, that doesn't count because you can pick up a seventh rounder whenever you want, like picking up a nickel on the ground. So stop with that.
No, look, again, I'm just saying if you trace the lineage of every trade, the reason that he did it with this deal specifically, he went through the whole lineage, is because it was Garoppolo and it was a noteworthy trade. And so that's my only point. That's why I asked him the question on the air when we talked to him last week. I'm not telling him he's wrong to believe what he believes.
No. But it doesn't make him a bad person. But he's probably a fanboy of Pat's Pulpit or something. So this psychology that I talked about, you know, even though you've, Bill's the best ever, unquestionably. The team's the best ever, unquestionably. But it still doesn't sit right with you that he may have missed one, meaning the Garoppolo return. So you've got to go through all these permutations to make yourself feel better or to not lose that one because why, I don't know. I can't answer that question, but it's weird. It's weird. You're the best ever. He's the best ever.
And again,
so once we're all there, why can't you say, well, he got this one right and that one wrong? You can't say he got that one wrong. You just can't.
No, everything has to be perfect.
Do it? I don't get it.
No. They would rather trace the lineage than actually looking at the deal in its own merit and saying they got a second form at that time when they could have had a first.
Anyway, we continue. Agenda Free Friday. Long commercial free segment is next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Taken by Panarin, handed across to Jones, and a wrister was deflected by one of the Bruins and then shuffled along by Rask. Meanwhile, out in front, trying to back in it.
It popped up in the air, and everybody was spinning around trying to look for it, and they couldn't figure it out. You could see McAvoy.
Bruins are protesting. They think it went out of play and struck the mesh behind. Patrice Bergeron is pressing that argument. It is undoubtedly being viewed for that reason.
It does look like it hit the mesh on second view here. There's no doubt it hit the netting. And I saw it from the initial vantage point on the goal that the net moved. Nobody knew where it was. Rask included.
It is frankly outrageous.
It is. It's unbelievable that could happen in a game and be allowed.
It's outrageous, and it goes back to one of my guiding core philosophies. Now, it's not an official Felger and Mass commandment. I mean, we gotta vote on that. There's a special committee for that. But it's just, you've heard me talk about it now for years. Replay doesn't work. It doesn't work. If there were no replay and that happened, and that goal was allowed to stand, we'd be outraged, but we'd be outraged at the right people, which is that the refs on the ice miss the call, they can't see, get glasses, like all the things we grew up with. Now it's so much bigger because it's negligence on the people who have all the time in the world to write a rule properly, and they can't do it. In no league ever can they do it. They can't figure it out in any league. No matter how much replay we add, no matter how much more things we say are under review to get right, we continue to get it wrong. And it feels like we get more wrong by the day. Replay doesn't work. It does not work. There's another example last night. We've been over it. It makes zero sense that they let you play on after an offsides, and you can spend 4 minutes and take 4,000 shots and passes after an offsides, but they will go back, if you were offsides, and bring that back. But on a play over the boards, if you make a single pass after the puck comes in from over the boards, that's it. You have to play on. You can't review it. That makes practically zero sense. Zero.
I mean, it's really astonishing when you think about it. Like, what would be the other equivalence? A guy in baseball hits a home run foul, but you can't review it?
Right, because...
And you know it's foul, but it stands.
Yeah, right, because of something. I don't know. You brought in a relief pitcher in between or something.
Or, yeah, football. A guy clearly steps out of bounds, but you allow, or a kicker misses a field goal. I don't know what the equivalent is, you know, but it's unbelievable.
I was flabbergasted.
I told you, I was sick to my stomach because, again, despite what people want to believe. I want to see the Bruins do well. I mean, I'm beyond the fact that I'm from here. It's also good for us. Like, there's, at the end of the day, if I were to be unbiased about it, why would I root against them? Like, I don't,
okay. So, but anyway,
but so on. But on that play, when that happened, I went, if they lose this game 3-2, and that, you know, that goal is the thing that turned the tide. Oh my gosh, the NHL will never live it down. That will go down as one of the great blown calls in the history of the league.
Unconscionable.
And so this is the thing where I give the Bruins credit
for. Okay, you said this off the air. It's a good point. Go ahead.
So I think there was the opportunity there for the Bruins to really get deflated. In fact, in the NHL Network show or the NBC show during intermission, I don't remember if it was Patrick Sharp or whoever that said, you know, it feels like if you're the Columbus Blue Jackets, you feel pretty good in the locker room right now. Like, the whole vibe, the momentum changed over that play.
No, you said it earlier. It was like Columbus was winning the game, even though we were down one.
It felt that way.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, oh, if the Bruins come out flat in the second period now and this thing does them in, I am going to be so pissed because I hate injustice. I do. I hate it. And I was literally like sick between periods. Like, this is unbelievable that this happened.
Let's get some.
And so give the Bruins credit because they didn't allow another goal the rest of the night.
That's a great point. Absolutely. So they showed some sack there. They showed some resilience. Get some post-game reaction. How about Bruce Cassidy first? Short and sweet.
Well, the goal should have been blown dead, hit the net, right? You'd hope four officials on the ice would see it. They didn't. Got to play through it at the end of the day. I thought we did a good job reacting to it, not letting it bother us, and off you go.
Okay, Maz's point. Exactly right. Bruins deserve credit for that, no question. And Cassie's point is, like, you know, half the players on the ice saw it go out. If you look, there were some Blue Jackets. I can't remember who it was. Might have been Anderson.
Went to the bench.
Started skating back to the bench.
Yes.
Turned around and started skating. So, and they weren't the only ones. There were a couple players who stopped, and some started skating back to the bench. The Brian Boucher, the sideline guy, saw it. We'll play you our call. Surratt and Beers saw it in real time, saw it happen as it was. It's part of Surratt's call before the goal was scored. And you got four guys out there, not one of them takes the time to look up there?
Unbelievable.
There's another thing with the way that net is wired up there. Most nets, the net here, when you see that puck go into the net behind the Bruins net, it sort of trickles down and then either gets caught sort of at the bottom. There's like a hard wire at the very bottom of it that sort of gets caught in there. And then you got to pop it up from the underneath to get it, or it'll trickle down on the inside of the boards.
Right. You mean in the crowd?
Yeah, in the crowd. Right. When I say the inside of the boards, the inside meaning the inside towards the crowd. Exactly. So the outside of the boards really is what I meant. Where here it feels like it's tied up on the inside of the boards or something?
Almost like it's like right up against the lip and almost hanging over.
Too taut. Whatever. But that's a whole other thing that I'm not going to take a single call from you on how you wire your net in your backyard. I don't care how you wire your net. Okay? But I'm just telling you. And here it doesn't really happen here because that puck generally goes in the crowd or gets caught in the net. There's something about that stupid net that bounces back because they've had that. It happened to the Bruins a couple of years ago in that same building. Either way, the fact that you can't review it, the league didn't stretch the rule to say, guys, come on, and call down from Toronto, or four of those imbeciles, not one of them, when the stinking sideline reporter and half the players on the ice saw it, not one of the four guys had an eye on it. Like, that's crazy. Here's Tuukka Rask after the game.
Well, did it hit the net?
Yes.
No, it's this day and age, I think it's crazy that the refs don't see it. I think why the league can call, you know, and they're watching the game, right? So, I mean, what if that's an overtime goal? It didn't cost us, but I think it's just funny that, you know, they can look at a lot of other kind of goals and call them back from the offices, so why not that? But, I mean, whatever.
When the guys stopped playing, like, you don't know where the puck is, but if your teammates stopped playing, do you just assume that the puck is out of play?
Yeah, well, I saw it was a high blocker shot. I think it hit somebody. And then there's, like, a five-second pause. I'm just, like, thinking it's got to be out of bounds. And then next thing I see, it's on the left side, and I start scrambling. I'm on my ass there, and then it's in the net. So it was just a weird, you know, few seconds there.
Does it bother you in the moment? Are you able to let go of it right away?
I didn't know what happened. I didn't see it hit the net. So
you weren't, like, outraged or anything because you didn't really
If I
know.
Saw it, then I would have been probably slamming the sticks and chasing the refs. But I didn't, probably better that I didn't see it.
Yeah, that's true. You know, the Bruins protested-ish. You know, maybe they just knew there's nothing the guys on the ice could do. But I don't know. If that happened to Tortorella, can you imagine what he would have done?
Oh, my God, he'd have lost his mind.
Would have choked one of them dead.
Blown a gasket.
Oh, yeah, he'd have completely lost his mind. But, you know, on a play like that, I half wonder whether, like, you know, the if they were to call it back and break the rule, right? Because the rule says it's not reviewable. I half wonder whether a coach on the team that, in this case, Tortorella,
yeah,
would look at it and go, I mean, the puck was in the crowd. What am I going to do, a bitch about that one? Like, you know, but by the letter of the law, what a stupid-ass rule is, bottom line.
It's just...
It's amazing that a puck can go in the crowd and they don't instantaneously say that can be reviewed. End of story. Like, why does it have to end up on someone's stick and go right in the net? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Really, of all the stupid things I've ever seen in professional sports, this is up
but
there.
I'm telling you, replay gives you a couple of those. Every month, there's a new one that you see. It's like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. And it all goes back to replay, as far as I'm concerned. Your calls, I promise. You're after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials. Oh, wait a minute. You know what? Let me tease it, Jimmy. I want people to know what's coming, and I want to tease it. At the end of the next segment, there's no commercials here. We have Fuppets. So when Hardy has Fuppets, and it's fresh Fuppets, we want to play it at least twice in the day because they're that good, and it deserves a double airing. So no commercials here. Update. We'll take your Bruins calls, and you'll hear Fuppets. The subject I've heard is just titled General Bitchiness, which sounds promising to me. Okay? Stick around. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.